First part of that challenge, I said we're going to do a two-part thing here, is in Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. And I want to look at, first of all, the past. As I said about that New Year's Eve giving us the opportunity to consider the past and consider the future, I want to first of all consider the past, not just what I was before Christ, but literally my past, you know. And verse 57 of Psalm 119, it says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes." All right, we have a couple years ago memorized Psalm 119 by singing it. And so I thought that this would be a fun time to remind ourselves of that. And so I would like us to sing Cheth. And so we sing that in the King James. That's where we had memorized it. We memorized it out of the King James Version. So though I'm teaching out of the New King James, we're going to be singing out of the King James. Now, if you're looking at another version, you just have to King Jamesize it as you sing it, okay? As a church, we did. For two years, once a month, we memorized a stanza. And so it took 2 years to do it, because 22 stanzas. Okay? So we're going to sing Cheth. And go ahead, Gabriel. So I we love to sing that every once in a while. We'll put the CD on infrequently, but still... to as a family and try to sing through as many as we can remember. And it's fun to have Gabrielle be able to play it as well. And we have it. I still have it. I can put it on my MP3 player and sing it when I do jobs, when I'm painting or whatever. Nobody else is around. I can sing it out loud. Now somebody's in the house. Can't do that very belt it out. But anyways, it's still good. But in verses 57 to 60, in this whole psalm, Psalm 119 is all about God's word and David's interaction with God's words and the importance of God's word. David says the importance of God's word here as it comes to his lifestyle, how he's been living. And he starts off in verse 57 with the remembrance of his promise. He said, "You are my portion, O Lord Yahweh. I have said that I would keep your words." And as I read through this, and I like to try to become David sometimes as I read through these psalms to understand what he was thinking when he said it. And honestly, there are so many times I know David. I understand David. I am David, as I am Peter sometimes with his big mouth and big foot going into his big mouth. And but he says, "You're my portion, Yahweh." And he says right off the bat, I know who I am. I know I'm yours. You're my portion. But I also remember the promise I made. And the promise was, I'll keep your words. If you save me, and I remember Bob in the fall of 1984, whether it was November, December, I don't remember the actual date, but I remember the moment. I remember getting out of my bed and going into my den, to my little library, and sitting on the papasan chair and crying my eyes out and saying, "God, if you could save this wicked soul, I'm yours." And I remember basically giving him carte blanche over my life. And I understand this then. David saying, "I said I would do what you told me to do. I said I would keep your words." But then note the next verse, there's a recognition of what? His failure. How do I get it? He says, "I entreated your what? Favor with my whole heart. Be what? Be merciful to me according to your word." Why would David be crying out for mercy? So that he didn't get what he deserved. Remember we talked about grace? Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Mercy is that you don't get what you do deserve. And he's crying out, don't give me what I deserve. Yeah. I said I would keep your words. But very clearly, I didn't. I mean, think about David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was considered to be a friend of God. And yet David's the one who got full of his lust, full of himself. He was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life exemplified in one moment. And he forgot God. And he traded God for a momentary pleasure. And the momentary pleasure had a lifetime effect because it now continued on. Instead of admitting it, he sought to cover it up. He murdered a man. But God knew. And even after that, it didn't stop. What was the effect after that? What happened after that? The child died. Okay. After that. That's exactly right. The sword shall not pass from your family, and your own son how was it stated? Anyways, but Absalom did it by having his wives. What you've done in secret, they'll do in public. Anyways, and so Absalom goes to tear the kingdom away from him, and it's all a result of this sin. And so David remembers his promise. He recognizes his failure, and look at verse 15. Or 59, he says, I thought about my ways then. In other words, I didn't just ignore them, right? I recognized it, I saw it, and I thought about it. I thought of my ways, and I did what? I turned my feet. David repented. So he remembered his promise, he recognized his failure, and he repented of his sin. And that repentance, again, is two steps. He thought about it. Remember, repentance means change the way you think. So he got his mind on it, and then he turned. And he turned his feet, because when he turned his mind, it ultimately turned the way his actions were going to go. And then he responded. And then there was the final thing, response, verse 60. I made what? Haste, and I did not delay to do what? To keep your commandments. I came to this point in my life where I realized whether God brought it to my attention, probably, that's God's job, right? Through the Holy Spirit, He brought to my attention what I should be doing that I haven't been doing. And instead of ignoring it, I faced up to it. And I confessed it. And I repented. And I turned my feet. And then I responded and I made a decision that I'm going to do what I know God wants me to do. I made haste. He did it with great zeal. He didn't do it grudgingly. Well, I guess I'm supposed to do it. But he wanted to do it. I made haste. I delayed not to keep thy commandments. We're going to sing two verses of a Calvary, 492. And after that, we're going to take a moment for personal prayer. But I would like to challenge each of you with meditating on these four verses of David and how they apply to your life. Jesus gave the illustration of the prodigal son who went out and spent all his worth, all the wealth. And when he came to the bottom of it, and he remembered who he was, where he had been, and where he was now. The same illustration, isn't it? He did what? He turned his feet and he went back to his father. He made haste. And he cried out for God's mercy and for his father's mercy. And so let's sing the first two verses of 482 at Calvary. To pray. And again, to ask the Lord, is there things that I need to be shedding right now? I need to be confessing to you. I'll come up in a few moments, in a few minutes, and I'll close this on this side of it. Let's pray. Amen. All right. I want to move on looking at the future at this point. And as I said about Psalm 119, it's all about God's Word and David's interaction with God's Word and the power of God's Word and such. And to me, the looking to the future, I could almost read this entire psalm and talk about the importance for God's Word in the future. But I want to go back to Psalm 1, which I think is a good job of concising it down to the four verses, the beginning part. Because we know that Psalm 119, verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." And so we talk about the negative side. But the blessed, well, Psalm 1 starts with the same concept. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." And so the idea there then of this time of blessing, and honestly, you're going into the year looking for the blessings of God. You're not, I don't think any one of us would say we're going into the year looking for the curses of God. You know, I'm looking this year and I'm hoping it's a real bummer, you know. I'm hoping that I come to this time next year and I look back and say, wow, what a rotten year it was. I mean, yeah, we're not going to do, we look at the year and we're hoping that we have a blessed year. Well, you know, again, God so clear about how we can be blessed and how His blessings come upon us. And very clearly He says in His psalm that meditation is one of the keys to His blessings. And it's not just meditation, but it's meditation on the Word of God. And I note then that in this, that this meditation, the concept of meditation, it's going to require two sides of me here. It's going to require my desire and my commitment. I'm only going to think about things that make me happy, that please me, that I hunger for. And so in my desire, if I'm going to meditate on God's Word, then I need to, first of all, have a desire for God Himself. And Psalm 42 talks about in fact, since we're in the Psalms, just turn to Psalm 42. It's easier just to read God's Word and let everybody see it. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" My soul thirsts for God. I yearn for Him. And David said that as well in Psalm 63. Turn there. Psalm 63. Where he intensifies this thirst and this desire for Him. He says, "O God, You are my God. Early, early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me." So, do I desire God? Do I yearn for him like the psalmist are declaring this desire, that like more than water itself in a desert, do I desire him? And so then if I desire him, then I'm going to desire his word. And then back in Psalm 119, we were there in Psalm 119, verse 97, David says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word." David says that God's word is that which he delights in, is that which he loves. And it's God's word that's going to give him wisdom. It's going to give him understanding. It's going to give him knowledge. It's going to give him more wisdom and understanding and knowledge than the ancients, than old people. There is knowledge that comes from life. Even people who aren't believers have wisdom. They have applied knowledge. They've learned things. But what I learn from God's word is worth more than all the wisdom that man can accumulate in and of himself. And even a young person then can have that wisdom more than an ancient person. Now, it doesn't mean that they flaunt it, but the fact is that they can have it. And they can walk then wisely. They can walk righteously before God. That's that wisdom. That's that blessedness that's going to come in the days ahead if I then apply it. But it's going to require then a commitment. Did you note, again, back over under Cheth, in verse, when we sang that 57 to 64, where David's talked about, he says, the cords of the wicked or the bands of the wicked, verse 61, have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments, because of your word. And so if you take all these things that we've read together, David says that he rises early to seek after God. He gets up at midnight. We saw as well in Psalm 63, in the night watches to meditate on God's word. And in Psalm 1 it said to meditate on God's word day and night. And so I bring this to my life then, and I ask myself, am I getting up early? What about Jesus? I mean, Jesus is my illustration, right? When did Jesus spend time with the Lord? Okay, after a long day at night time, all night he prayed, but we're told that he got up early before it was yet day so he could spend time with God. Because what happens when daytime happens and everybody else is getting up? Everything happens, busy. And I mean, I can tell you just this week, you know, being sick over the weekend and trying to recuperate, I've allowed myself to sleep in. Well, what happens then? Everything's off. I'm wrapped up in it, everybody else's schedule. And that doesn't mean that's bad. That's serving others. But the fact is, then, if I want to have that time with God, I have to plan the time. It has to be planned, purposed time. If I say, oh, hope it'll happen, it won't happen. It will not happen if I just hope it'll happen. I have to plan for it to happen. Satan does not want me to spend focused time on God and his word. And so I have got to make the decision to schedule it in my day, to plan it purposely to do it. And so this is that part where then we get into these New Year resolution things. And I'm not asking you to make a resolution. I don't want you to sign your name to a dotted line on something. And yet, David said, remember back where we started this, I remember what I promised. And so, in a sense, you may have already promised God this anyway. And so I want to call you back to that and challenge you as you go into the new year. What purpose are you going to make in your life? To spend some time with the God you say you love. What are you going to do? What are you going to change? What are you going to adjust so that you can spend more time in God's Word? What are you going to change? What are you going to adjust so that you can memorize God's Word, so that you can meditate on it? If meditation is a key to seeing the blessings of God in my life, then clearly I should want to meditate on God's Word. And in order to meditate on God's Word, I need to know God's Word. In order to know God's Word, I need to desire God's Word. So what am I going to do? What commitment am I going to make? And so we're going to sing 186, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. And we'll sing In My Life, In My Home, In This Church. And then after that, we're going to take, again, some more time to pray. And this time, my challenge to you in that prayer is to ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Not what am I going to just jump out and do. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to obey you in? What do you want me to follow you in doing right now, this year? And then don't let it forget tonight. If you need to write it on your hand, if you're one of those people who got to write it on the hand or back of your hand, on your fingers, on your forehead, so you can see it in the mirror in the morning when you wake up, whatever it is, do that so that you remember it after midnight tonight when we go home and you've played all the games and had all the sodas. Amen. Take some time to pray, and again, when I come back up, we'll sing Sanctuary, and then and we'll be participating with communion, with the elements there. So let's take some time to pray.